About to be seated. And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to, Tim. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. Got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite. The circle of life. Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky, touchdown. There you go, there's your big three.
So in case you're wondering what that has to do with my message, it doesn't really have much to do with it, actually. It's just a funny video I like to start off with, and it's very true. Noticed, I see a lot of them, the TV carrying, that's one of my favorites. But yeah, so today I'm going to be speaking on something that, I'll explain a bit about it, but Dad actually thought I was speaking on the resurrection, which was what I spoke on at Jesus Club. But I'm actually going to be speaking on something that, without knowing, he prayed about all three things in the prayer meeting, which are Bible, praying, and worship music. Now, can anyone tell me what these three things have in common? Jesus, yes. Well, yeah, if you say Jesus, yeah, you can't be wrong. Jesus is always the answer. But something else that it has in common is there's three things that have really helped me to grow in faith over the past year. And so I'm going to be sharing with you how I came to grow in faith and how I've gotten closer to God and how I've done all those things. So we're going to start off with Bible and prayer, because these two things kind of, for me anyway, go together. So I started last year, probably in about term four, I started just praying a lot more. Every little problem and every little situation I ran into, instead of just trying to handle it with myself, I would handle it with God, and I would just do a little prayer, something like if I had a growing pain or some sort of injury, it would just be like, "Dear Lord, I pray that you would heal it up." As simple as that, nothing more. And I just kept doing this, and I noticed as I did this more and more of these prayers were being answered. And obviously, if you don't know, God answers kind of all prayers, but when I say answered, I mean answered in the way I kind of wanted it to be answered, you know, so I would be healed. And along this time as well, I decided I was going to start reading the Bible a lot more. And before this, I'd been reading the Bible kind of maybe once a week, you know, 3-4 times a month, not much at all. I'd read My Word for You Today, but I just wasn't really reading the Bible as much as I could have been. And so at like the start of the year, I decided, right, I'm gonna start and I'm just gonna read one chapter a night. That's all it was. And so this year, so far this year, I have read Proverbs, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and I'm currently reading 1 Corinthians. So you actually get through quite a lot of the Bible when you read it every single night. And whenever I go to bed, like what I was doing last year a lot of the time is I'd get to bed, it would be like, I don't know, 10 o'clock, 10:30. I'm in music groups at school, so I wake up quite early on some days, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I have time. So I'd flick the light off and I'd just go to bed. But what I started doing at the beginning of this year is I thought, you know what, I've just spent 12 hours doing school work and, to be honest, many hours probably on social media and watching YouTube and TV shows and stuff. And I thought, if I spend all this time doing that, why can't I spend 5 minutes probably, five to six or so minutes spending time reading the Bible? And so every single night, well, mostly every single night since the start of the year, I've just like disciplined myself and convinced myself that I need to be reading the Bible. And it's been amazing. I'm telling you, like, the things you read, when you read the Bible, like, often a lot of the times when you read it, it might just go over our head, and we might just read things and be like, blaster. And often I do this a lot, and I read, and then I notice I've gotten about halfway through the chapter, and I can't remember anything I've just read, because I was thinking about something else. And I'm sure this has probably happened to many of us, if not all of us. And so what I do is I just go, all right, back to the start, and I read it through until I absorb all of it. But I would really strongly recommend reading the 4 Gospels in a row. That was really good. And I know it's kind of like reading the same story 4 times in a row, but it's actually really great to get all the perspectives of 4 different disciples of Jesus' life. And so we have in each book we have different miracles that Jesus did, and you kind of all get to piece together the story of Jesus until you get a really nice understanding of what his life was like. Then I went on to Acts. Acts was really great to see what happened after Jesus. So we have the story of like how Paul became a Christian, and what the disciples did after Jesus. That was really cool. And I'm big, as I've said, like I watch a lot of TV shows, and I'm really big into kind of storylines and following along and seeing someone's life or whatever. And I found that when I'm reading the Bible in order, it begins to kind of become like each chapter is a new episode in this big, as a metaphor, like TV show. And so I started reading it, and this was what actually started making reading the Bible fun. And so instead of just being like, oh, I have to read the Bible tonight, or reading it and just, oh, I want to go to sleep, or, you know, it actually started to become something that I enjoyed doing. And I think that's a key to reading the Bible. If you learn to enjoy reading the Bible, it's a lot, and I mean like a lot easier to read it. Then we go into Romans, and I really love the straightforward message in Romans. Almost each chapter we have almost like the same message of why sin is bad and what Jesus did so we can be saved, and it's just over and over, and we have lots of different teachings from Paul about sin and all this different stuff, and I found that really good, and it's really really good to relate to Romans. It's very relatable. And I'm currently reading 1 Corinthians, and so far I've kind of just, Paul offering advice for, and wisdom for life and why sin is wrong, etc. But yeah, I'm reading that at the moment, and I plan to just keep going through it until I've read the whole New Testament, and then I'll probably, you know, go back into the Old Testament or whatever. But it's really like, it gets really fun reading the Bible after you read it consecutively. But yeah. But here's where it kind of joins in with prayer. So, around about the same time, I was praying a lot, as I mentioned before. And in the Gospels especially, I was reading verses about faith, and they are so inspiring. Like, some people, I don't know, might look at them and just skim over it and not pay much attention to it. But when I read these verses and when I read the Bible, I take it very literally. Like, I know how to identify a metaphor or a simile in the Bible, but verses like, if we bring them up on the screen cam, we've got John 14, verse 13, and it's, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." It's a pretty simple and obvious message. It's, ask something in Jesus' name, and that I will do. Pretty straightforward and simple. So now we go, I got three more. We'll look at Mark 11, verse 24. "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Again, it's so simple, and I think for everyone here, all you have to do is pray and listen to the Bible. It's so straightforward and simple. I mean, like, the God who created heaven and earth has given us this message to read, and if we believe in him, then we should believe his word and what it says. So, got two more. Matthew 19, verse 26. "With God, all things are possible." Again, pretty straightforward. And one more. Matthew 21, verse 22. "Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." And so, these are just four of them. There are many, many more verses like this, and especially the Gospels, but all throughout the Bible. But this last one here, it's so, so simple. "Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." So I started thinking about this, and I was like, well, okay, I'll ask something in prayer, and I have faith that it will be done. And I don't really know how I kind of started building up that faith, but the more I prayed and the more my prayers got answered, if I got healed, the more my faith kind of started to be built up, and the more faith I had in my next prayer I prayed. But yeah, I'm going to go into a Bible story now. It's a story of Jairus, I'm not sure how to say his name. It's in Luke 8, verse 50, and there's also the story about the woman who touches Jesus' cloak or garment. And after healing the woman when she touched his garment, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Again, very, very simple. And it's just like, when you're reading this every night, the same kind of messages, and it just builds you up and inspires you. And yeah, you know, I can do this. All I have to do is faith. And your prayers get answered. And then after healing Jairus' daughter, who was raised back from the dead, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." Again, there's six examples now of Bible verses that are just saying your prayers will be answered if you have faith. Basically, that's the general kind of message I got from that. Yeah. Now, I love the power of testimonies, and I love when we have like a bit massive testimony time at church, or, you know, that goes on for 10, 15 minutes, and I always try every Sunday to get up and do a testimony. And the reason I didn't do one today at testimony time was because I wanted to share one now. So, earlier this week on Thursday, Cam, if you bring up the photos, so here we have it's the latch on the back of our car boot, right? So Mum's car has a boot, and that's the latch. And basically, I'll get my pointer, and I'll show you what's supposed to happen. So that's what's supposed to happen at the moment, right? So the latch is supposed to be there, and that means that whenever you pull the lever up, the boot will fling open, right? But the problem was that the latch had somehow, we don't know how, we arrived back from school and the boot wasn't opening, because this has happened one time before, is the latch was somewhere along there and it was stuck in place. And so we were trying everything. The last time it happened, what we actually did was climbed through, if we show the next pictures, Cam, that's the boot closed, next one. That's the seats, and what we'd do is you pull down the seats, and you climb through the back of the boot and get your finger and flick there. Is there another one, Cam? Oh, no, that's my AU membership card number. all right, never mind, don't worry about that. So what we'd do, if you go back to the seat one, climb through the back, But we couldn't do this for two reasons. One was there's actually a latch inside the boot you have to pull to get the seat down, which is pretty useless. And also, Mum had a table in there, so even if we had got the seat down, we would have had to kind of, I don't know how we would have got through the table. But anyway, inside this boot was John and I's school bags and milk. So the milk was getting, the milk was probably getting a wee bit warm around about now, and so we couldn't really do much about it at the moment. So Mum and I went and did some errands. This happened at about probably maybe 3:30. Mum and I went and did some errands, came back, it was probably about 5:30, so it had been about 2 hours. Came back home, Dad was home, and Dad came and had a look. And so we're all kind of trying to figure out how to get this boot open, because it was quite important to us. So I was kind of sticking my hand through around the back of the seat to try to find this latch. I had no idea where it was, I was just hoping. And so my hand was getting squashed, and Dad and Mum were kind of just, Dad was like, he had the key in the boot, and he was turning it like this and smacking the boot, bang, 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 you know. and then it was like, he had his hands out, he was like pushing, bang, bang, you know, trying everything we could to try to get this boot open. And I walked in the garage and I was like, all right, right, Jesus, I pray in the name of Jesus this boot would open. And I walked around the side of the car, and then I started putting my hand through the back of the seat. And then I got out of the car, Mum and Dad were kind of just like looking at it, wondering how to open this boot. And I walked around to the back of the boot. The key was still in there, and I just prayed, Lord, I pray this boot would open. And I turned that key, and the thing just popped up. Dad had tried this turning this key maybe 50, 100 times, you know, like this. And I walked over with a prayer, turned it, and it just went up. And Mum and Dad, and I was like, what'd you do? And I was like, I prayed. So that was just, it was such an amazing moment. I love when when you have an experience like that, when it's so, I don't know, like, if you don't believe in God, I don't know how that happened. Well, like, obviously it was God, but I don't know another explanation for it, you know? And so these moments are just, I love when that happens. And the more you pray and have faith, these will happen. And it's just amazing to see the look on your parents' face and stuff. So that was an awesome testimony. And but I think testimonies ultimately show us what God can do, what God has done, and what he will do. And if we believe these testimonies, which if we're a Christian, I guess we will, or anyone can believe these testimonies, but if we believe these testimonies of what God has done, then we should know that there is a God, and there is a God who loves us, who created the world, wants to have a relationship with us. And I'm kind of going a wee bit off track, but this is what I do every time at Jesus Club. Just a wee, you know, mini gospel message added in there. That there is a God who has a plan for us, and a God that, if we don't, Romans 10:9, if we don't confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, then we won't be saved and we'll go to hell. And I'm putting it straight up like that, because that's the simple truth. And that's the truth that I think we need to hear. And a few weeks ago at Jesus Club, after we shared a message, I can't quite remember what one, but I went and asked my mate Alex, and I said, what could be improved at Jesus Club? You know, what needs to be, what would be something you want to hear more of? And he said, oh, just some more kind of like, some more stuff like Mr. B did. And Mr. B was a teacher who came and gave his testimony. And he was like, oh, just do some more testimonies and actual things of what you've seen and what God's done in your life. And I was like, yeah, man. And like, I really agree with them, because as I said, the power of testimonies is really awesome, and it's really amazing what they can do. But I'm going to finish up this kind of section about Bible and prayer with two things. So ultimately, the sermon is about how to grow in your faith and how to get closer to God. And so if we don't, pretend you got a friend. I'm sure we all have friends. Pretend we have a friend. How do we build up that relationship, and how do we get closer to our friend if we don't talk to that friend? You know? If we never talk to a friend, we're not going to get very close to them, are we? I have a friend from Kashmir Primary. We were like best friends there, and we're still very close friends, but unfortunately he goes to a different school than me, and he's not the greatest at contacting people, and whenever I call him I get voicemail, and I text him and it takes him a few days to reply. I'm sure we all maybe know someone like that, but I don't talk to him as much as I did back in primary school. And to be honest, this has had quite a big effect on our relationship. And yes, we're still very good friends, but we're not as close as we used to be. And second one is, how do we have a relationship with someone if we don't learn about them? To be friends with someone, if you only know their birthday, their name, and their family or something, then that's pretty boring. You want to get closer to someone. You want to learn more about them. You want to have those experiences with them. You want to get the memories with them and stuff. So, relating this back to God, how do we have a relationship with God if we don't pray? Now, I think the simple answer is that we're not going to grow in faith if we don't pray to God. It's simple like that. And how do we have the relationship with God if we don't learn about Him and learn about what He has to say in the Bible? So praying and reading the Bible are two massive, massive things that I really want to emphasize on how to grow in faith. So now we get into our kind of a third and final one, which is worship music or Christian music. So going back to last year, I had a playlist called Nick's Playlist. And on this playlist was kind of just my songs that I listened to. They were all non-Christian. I had a separate one called Church Bangers. That was a separate playlist we had. I think the Olivia, Luke, and I kind of shared this playlist on our Spotify. Spotify is kind of like a music platform that you listen to songs on. I just want to put it out there. But last year, I deleted all my swearing songs from my playlist. And I was like, yeah, good on me. So I deleted all these songs, and then my playlist was just full of still secular songs, but they didn't have swear words in them. So that was a start. And that was probably in about the start of term 4 last year. And then at the start of this year, I think I was on my way to Nelson. I remember this quite thoroughly. I was listening to this other song. It didn't have swear words in it, but it had a mean beat and a good as music, but the lyrics in it were I can't remember what they were, but they were very bad and very pointless, and they just didn't bring anything positive to me. And if anything, it was a pretty negative message. And all throughout my playlist, yes, there are good songs. All Star by Smash Mouth. That I can't see a negative message in that. And You've Got a Friend in Me. There aren't bad messages in that, but throughout the rest of my playlist, I did have songs. To be honest, most of them were probably just about love and sex and all this stuff that wasn't good for me. And so, the start of this year, I deleted Nick's playlist, which had about 250 songs on it, and I created a new playlist called Nick's Playlist. And I just started, instead of having my Nick's Playlist with all the secular songs and then the church bangers with all the Christian songs, I now just have Nick's Playlist with Christian songs. And so I only really, probably 99% of the time, listen to Christian songs. And I just want to show you something. I was actually planning to do a swear, I'm sure some of you here were here for my swearing part one sermon, but I was planning to do a swearing part two one, but I didn't think I had quite enough kind of content that I had already covered in my first one. So this was something that I discovered. And if we show this next picture cam. So here's a picture of the Spotify Top 100, okay? This is in 2015, and 17 out of the 100 songs were explicit. And explicit means they would have a swear word in them. And so that was 17 out of 100 in 2015. And if you have a look on the list there, that might have been the top 7 or so, or just somewhere random on the playlist. You see that bottom one, you can see that little explicit sign? Yeah? I'll get my pointer to get in and show you. That one down there, what's that? Okay. That's 2015 playlist. Now if we show this next photo, this is 2018, right? All these are explicit, and 43 out of the 100 songs were explicit in 2018. And what's really quite a shock is, I don't know if you can see, but that top one, guess what it's called? God's Plan. God's Plan with Explicit Language in It by Drake. But, I mean, I can't remember what he does. I think in his music video, he goes and gives homeless people money. Oh, good job, you gave them 1% of your earnings or something. Good on him for doing it. But swearing in a song about God's plan, it's just not good. And so, anyway, I don't want to leave a picture of that on the screen. So, there you go. Here's a nice sunset. Anyway. I created a new playlist called Nick's Playlist, and it had only Christian songs. And often, a lot of the things I hear from people are, oh, Christian songs just aren't very exciting sometimes, or they don't sound like modern music. Okay? Yesterday, Dad said this. We were talking about worship music. Don't get me wrong, we were talking about worship music, and then Dad said, it's good, isn't it? Mum was just like, I think you've had a revelation. So, as Tony Blackie, the pastor, said, it's good. But I fully agree with these people, and I said it myself. Some worship music is just kind of, it's repetitive. Yeah, boring. And it's just like, oh, I don't want to listen to it. Oh, this sounds like the last one I just heard. Or, you know, oh, this song here is just a worshipy song. Like, if I explain this, it's kind of, with Christian music, I find there tends to be some, like, worship songs, which are great when you want to praise the Lord, but then there's also some songs that you just want to share while you're, you know, vacuuming the car or something. And the reason I couldn't find any songs that were interesting to me was because I wasn't looking, obviously. Anyway, I think it was at the start of the year, Mum or Sandra and Luke went to a For King and Country concert. I'd never heard of this band, but they went and they said it was amazing. Luke came home and showed me some of their music. And I was like, whoa, this sounds like modern day music and it's Christian. And so I started adding all these songs to my playlist. And then I started browsing more and I was looking at, on Spotify you can do a thing where if you look up an artist and then it says like related artists or something. So I'd look in there and then I'd find these other songs that sounds similar but not the same to this For King and Country band who have some music that's more kind of maybe more songs that youth would like, and it has some more modern kind of music features in it and stuff that I enjoyed listening to. Anyway, a few weeks ago, maybe 7 weeks ago or so, I was in bed and I was listening to music and I went on Luke's playlist. This is Luke's Christian playlist. And I started, and I rediscovered Newsboys. How many of us have heard of Newsboys before? Yeah, lots of hands, awesome. Now, Newsboys was a band I kind of grew up listening to in the car on the way to Nelson, on road trips and stuff. And I heard these songs, and I was like, oh, awesome songs. And these were probably their songs from 2014 and 15 and so. And I added them to my playlist, but then what I did is I went on all their previous albums, scrolled right down to the bottom until we got to the ones from like 1990 or something. I was like, whoa, I don't know how long these guys have been around for. It's like 29 years now. Maybe it started in 1999. I can't remember. But I started adding all these, what I would call a banger, to my playlist. I don't know if you've heard of like songs Shine and Take Me to Your Leader and Step Up to the Microphone and all these amazing songs that had... I can see Ian bobbing his head around listening to it. Yeah. But I was doing the exact same thing. I was like, oh, I love these songs. Oh, you know, the nostalgia and the memories I have of them. And these songs by the Newsboys are nothing like today's songs. Well, there may be a few, but the messages in the Newsboys songs are so straightforward. And I'm a straight-up guy who likes straightforward Bible messages, so I'm going to like a straightforward song. One of their songs was called Boycott Hull. Let's do it. Yeah? Simple, straightforward message. Boycott Hull. And it's just like, we got a job to do, we're out of time to do it. And I was like, yeah, you know? And so I started listening to more and more of these songs by the Newsboys. And I was listening to the songs that I'd grown up listening to, but also listening to these other songs that I'd never heard before. And, oh, the message in the songs was so straight. And I loved them. And then I rediscovered Lincoln Brewster. Who's heard of Lincoln Brewster? Yeah, not quite as many, but it was songs we grew up listening to. And again, the memories. And for such straightforward messages. I'm going to keep saying that. I think it's very important to listen to Christian music. You know, everything we do and experience and listen and see and just everything has an impact on us one way or another. Like TV shows we look at, if you guys watch many TV shows, but I will often find myself in bed thinking about, oh, that was a funny episode, or something like that, or thinking about, oh, what's going to happen on the next one, or thinking about it, or especially with songs, you can get songs that get stuck in your head, right? I'm sure this probably happened to all of us. We get songs that get stuck in our head, and I don't think it's very good if we get songs that talk about sex, swearing, drugs, and they're not all about that, but if they have a bad message, why should those songs be getting stuck in our head rather than ones that are talking about God and what our mission is and who our Creator is and all this really, really positive stuff and stuff that really uplifts us and inspires us and encourages us? And so what I've started doing all year is during my nightly routine of showering and brushing my teeth and moisturizing my face and all this stuff, I'll have my headphones on and I'll be listening to Nick's playlist, the new and improved, very improved Nick's playlist, with the Newsboys and Lincoln Brewster and For King and Country and all these amazing bands that I've discovered. And I'll do this while I brush my teeth, and I've got a wee speaker called a Yui Boom, bring it into the shower with me, play this very loud, and then I'm get into my room, close the door, and I'm just like praising the Lord in my room with my towel around me, and it's just... I'll sit down and I'll kind of listening to this music, I'll read my word for you today and I'll read my Bible, and then I'll turn it off and I'll go to bed, and I've just spent say 20 minutes probably, maybe even longer, just praising the Lord and hearing what He has to say through the Bible and praying. And I tell you, going to bed with that mindset and that kind of experience, being in God's presence, is so much better than going to bed thinking about the latest episode of The Walking Dead or something like that. It's so much better than going to bed thinking about having to pay your taxes or school or exams or something pathetic. Not that they're pathetic. Something else that's not very uplifting or anything. But yeah, I really encourage you guys, if you want to be in God's presence and if you want to grow in faith, try doing that. Just, it doesn't matter if you read your Bible and stuff in the morning, do it in the morning. I mean, I don't normally start off my day with that, but maybe I think I probably will now. I've inspired myself to do it. But yeah, I'm probably going to start doing that now, because when we start and finish off our days with God, then it fills up our whole day, and if we grow in faith, and the more time, with the relationship thing, the more time you're with God, the more you're going to get closer to Him. And something I forgot to mention is quite important, is that me growing in faith, is part of it is being with Cam. And what's going on, you, Cam? Having a Christian classmate is really good, and you get to kind of go out there, and when you talk to people about God and Christianity, having a friend who is also a Christian and is also growing in faith and stuff, and is that kind of the same level as, well, not necessarily the same level, doesn't have to be, but having someone else with you during your week who is a Christian, who you can kind of talk to about God with and stuff. Like, back in year 9, before Cam was a Christian, I can't remember, maybe I got a few conversations about evolution, that tends to be the one that kids go for, or homosexuality and God and that kind of stuff. But when you have someone who can kind of back you up, and no matter how the conversation goes, you're not going to walk out of that room alone. I mean, obviously you always have God, but you're not going to walk out of that room alone by yourself, with you being the only one to have that belief. It's so great having. So I encourage you, if you have a Christian workmate or a friend that you're always with, I encourage you to kind of spend a lot of your time with them, because, as I said, the more time you spend with God and Christians and stuff, the closer you'll get to God. So, in conclusion, if I want you to take away one thing from this message, It's my A membership card number. No, I'm joking. If I want you to take away one thing from this message, it's that if you want to get closer to God, you have to do it, all right? Yes, praying that you'll get closer to God will work, but if you want to get closer to God, then I encourage you, listen to that worship music, praise the Lord, read the Bible and pray and have faith. I mean, like, there's been so many examples of you know, you've heard me get up like every testimony time recently to give an example of what God has done in my life. So as I invite the worship team to come back up to close off the service, just I'll finish in prayer because it would be kind of hypocritical if I didn't. So, yeah, I just encourage you guys to do that. So, dear Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this opportunity to come and speak about you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done in my life, Lord, and all you've done in others' lives. Thank you for your love and your being in your presence, Lord. That's just so amazing. I pray for every single one in here, Christian or not Christian, I pray that they would find you and they would get closer to you and they would grow in faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.